Hello, Unlocking Ascension Group members. This is the Ground and Flow Q&A, Session 3. We have a number of very intriguing questions, so let me just dive right in. Manon asks, is there a time you'd want to connect in with the lower dimensions of Earth? The primal dimensions do not feel only dense, but an important part of the whole, not to be neglected. And when you want to release primal things, it feels like the deepest levels are the place to connect to. Sometimes I can connect to Earth in four fields. Is that too much for ground and flow? That's a great question. Again, if you have a very detailed and complex awareness of the many dimensions and grounding possibilities energetically, I would say let them all inform your personal practice. For me, personally, and this is just personal, I like to keep things simple. I actually don't hold a lot of complexity in my awareness. And so, whatever I don't need to know consciously, I let my guides run. I may actually be grounding in lower dimensions of the earth non-consciously, and so may you. Your guides can help determine the most useful dimensions of grounding for you beyond what we explained. The reason I emphasized the 7th through 12th dimensions of grounding is that that was a download that someone shared with me and it resonated with me. To say that these upper dimensions for meta-human souls especially who have very significant connections to other dimensions and often are higher vibrating beings, these upper dimensions where Earth has already stabilized at a higher level of consciousness can be extremely soothing. Many people do feel much calmer when they ground into the higher dimensions. The real proof is in your results. Feel free to experiment with the lower dimensions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Feel free to experiment with a combination of dimensions if that feels interesting to you. Please remember, if anything feels tedious or overly complicated, that's really not resonant with your particular way of working with energy. So just follow your own way of working with energy. If you have a very nuanced and detailed perception of dimensions, then feel free to ground into any combination you like, four different fields, multiple dimensions. If it comes easy to you, it's efficient, and it works well in bringing you a sense of calmness, stability, and centeredness so that you can actually act as a body on this planet, that's the point of grounding. So however that works, even if it's convoluted, as Manon says, if it works for you, go for it. If you want to keep it simple, go for it. If you want to just follow what dimensions are best for me to ground into today, and you just want to ask that question and get any kind of answer that comes through, go for it. Again, go by your results. If those dimensions don't feel particularly great, I have had people like need to be in level 16 to contact a spiritual being, but it made them feel really lightheaded and not at ease, then we drop it down to dimensions where you do feel calm, stable, grounded in the sense of present and connected to Earth in whatever way is best for your system. Okay, Manon also had another question about the vivaxis. Is it possible to choose to have a vivaxis in the earth and also connect to a vivaxis in other realms or dimensions? Or is the vivaxis an earthbound concept? Great question, and again, indicative of a more complex awareness of working with subtle energies. The vivaxis is based in earth. It is a connector for the human body to the earth plane, the planet Earth. There may be similar structures to the vivaxis for beings from other planets or even other dimensions. All I can say again here is experiment. Again, in the interest of keeping it simple and knowing that the whole point is for you to be at home in your human physical body and get nurture for your physical energy system, which is a product of this planet, I would be very comfortable letting you just play with the Vivaxis as it relates to Earth. If you want to ask questions or learn more about the possibility of something like a Vivaxis on other realms or dimensions, go for it. And feel free to share whatever you learn with me or any other folks who are interested. It's a fascinating idea. Francina asks, I'd like to know the best way for me to ground and stay grounded when life gets busy during the day, especially at work on my job. Okay, great question. That's where the rubber meets the road, is how do we maintain this in a busy muggle life? We're mystics and muggles together, the duality. When we're living in the duality, how do we make this work? Suggestions. Just have an automatic grounding cord running for you, and all you would need to do is just refresh it here and there. If you've got a crystal in your desk, touch the crystal. If you've got your ground, if you've got a talisman that you use for your boundaries, maybe come up with another talisman that's specifically about grounding and let that help you. There are crystals that really are useful for grounding in the sense of connecting you deeply to the earth plane. And smoky quartz comes to mind as being very useful for that. You may find that other people recommend other crystals. Just, you know, we're all coming at this from different angles. Just tune into what feels really good to you in any way that just helps you maintain groundedness. And just to say, in Earth life, you're always kind of knocked a little off balance and you come on balance. Other people's energies kind of ping you and you need to recover. That is not a problem. It's just part of living on Earth. On and off balance. Coming back to balance quickly and efficiently is really the desired goal. And that's when a little aid like a crystal, a physical talisman, a quick command to yourself, a simple gesture that reminds you ground, just get grounded, get that energy running again. That's all you need to do. So finding your own support system for staying grounded in the busyness of life, that's part of moving up your path of ascension, because you will never stop needing to remind yourself to ground. You will never stop encountering energies that kind of push you out of groundedness, and you get to recover. You get to step back in to a grounded state. So please don't make yourself wrong if you feel yourself kind of moving out of feeling grounded, anxious, jittery, a little afraid. Just know that, oh, that's an invitation to come back on balance and ground. And what's the simplest and quickest way for you to do that? That's the energy play that you get to have as you move on up the spiral of your continued ascension. So yeah, great question. Emu had several questions to bring in. The first one was, could you give an idea of what dimensions 1 through 12 are about? And I'll have to be frank here and say, not really. It's never been a specific discipline of mine, because we only inhabit, like really consciously inhabit, a few of these dimensions. Those are the ones where we can get more of a sense of it. Any dimension we're not consciously inhabiting, but that we might choose to ground into, that's kind of a subliminal, not completely conscious function. And we only need to pay attention if there's specific qualities we want to be aware of. And you know what? Because we're all unique vibrational beings, any dimensions that are not what we actually inhabit are going to come through a little differently for each one of us. I might be aware of dimension one in a particular way, and somebody else might tune in and say, what do I need to know about dimension one? They get completely different information. Each dimension is complex. It's mostly important, what is the effect on you? And that is the only way to know that is to check it out for yourself. Just experiment for yourself. What does dimension one feel like to me? What about dimension 12? What about dimensions beyond dimension 12? Is it useful for me to experience those and just kind of check in and say, how does that interface with my personal energy? This is where we get into the awareness that any kind of psychic information, spiritual information, it's extremely personal. It's running through your filters, your consciousness, your unique vibrational awareness. And that means we might get slightly different angles and understandings on all kinds of different concepts. And some of them may even seem to be conflicting. That's why I really invite you to simply ask, what do I need to know? What is useful for me to know about a specific spiritual or energetic or psychic concept? And if someone's presenting this as like utter and absolute truth, that's when I would invite you to question it, to say, well, that's clearly true for them from their perspective, their angle, their bandwidth, their radio station, so to speak. But is it true for mine? If I tune into those frequencies, do I get a little bit different awareness? And does that resonate as true within my own system? Go with that. Another question, when we talk about the earth element, are we talking about earthing as well? From what I understand, earthing is this actual contact with the physical surface of earth and for the purpose of conducting energy. It's the conductivity of earth, actually electrons, the actual facts, electrons and electrical energy between the earth and our physical bodies. It's usually about walking barefoot or contacting some specifically created substance such as a grounding mat or an earthing sheet, things that serve the same purpose of conducting these electrons into our bodies that are meant to have these certain effects on us. So the earth element is different from earthing because it's not specifically about the physical electrons. The earth element is more of a subtle energy concept. So you can contact the earth element without being in direct physical contact with earth. Just like we're calling in these different elements, and you might not be touching wood or seeing a stone or having metal on your person physically. We're interacting with the subtle energy essence of those elements, and that is a little bit different angle of approach. So that's where we kind of move from the physical plane up into these other vibrational planes of working with subtle energy. And again, you can earth, and earthing sounds like a useful practice. I would love to know more about it and maybe get some earthing things myself, because by gum, I'm all about comfort, and it is not in my comfort to stand barefoot on the wet ground in the winter in Seattle. No, thank you. But there may be other things that have exactly the same effect on me, and I would appreciate that. So again, explore, examine, check this out for yourself. Another question. For the stone element, could we consider crystals? And I would say absolutely. Crystals are a very refined and beautifully aligned type of stone. Many stones have crystalline aspects to them. Sometimes just regular old stones are really useful for grounding because they're not so high vibration. Sometimes, just like we talked about, lower elements of the earth can be really useful for anchoring and working with primal energies. Basic stones can be really useful for grounding. If you're drawn to crystals, use them. Just be aware, they are a refined form of stone, and that will have slightly different effects on you. Just see what you like and go with that. Another question about metal. Could the gold in your teeth or other types of metal you could wear on your body help with shielding? Shielding is a little different from grounding, and so I'm just going to refer to this as, you know, thinking about grounding. And you can always refer to the metals, the actual physical metals. I wear a lot of silver because the physical energy of silver, as well as the subtle energy of silver, is really useful to me. It's very protective, and it's also conductive of the energetic information I need to read people's energy, to access the Akashic records, to do the kind of specialized psychic work that I do. So you could absolutely kind of engage any metal that you actually wear or have that's on your body that's is wholesome and helpful to you, you could engage that and sort of instruct or program it to assist you with grounding, to be present for you in that way. Fascinating idea. Have fun with that. For shielding, gold is a color rather than an element for what I would think of as energetic protection. Gold brings power. Silver both filters and magnetizes and conducts information. Different purposes, but this is about subtle energy rather than the actual metals. Finally, if we say grace and flow, are we saying that all energies we perceive as yakky, and I absolutely love that word, yakky, go back to sender or source? That's not a phrase I actually used myself, but you know, words are coded energy. If that's a code you like, feel free to use that. What I say when I'm redirecting or bouncing back energies is I just code my own border, which we talked about in session 4. I code my border to bounce back to sender, return to sender with grace. Grace meaning the 4 energies of love and power and wisdom and joy, because they are the antidotes to this yakky energy. So grace is the counter agent to any energy that's not wholesome, that's not beneficial, that's not useful. And you can come up with your own code phrase. The whole point is you're having a simple, efficient way to redirect the energies back to sender, keeping yourself safe, keeping your energetic integrity, and reminding others that pushing their energy into you is not permitted anymore. That's a violation of your sovereignty. You don't permit that. They need something else to help them manage their own energies. And this little infusion of grace is really a loving way to assist them. Okay, Jennifer asks, am I overthinking the grounding process? Let me just say yes. If you wonder if you're overthinking, you probably are. But it's okay for our logical mind to step in and work with us. But am I overthinking the grounding process, including that torus field that we envisioned in our group process, by imagining the entire process each time? Suppose I say or think a code phrase and then just imagine the energy pulsing through me. Is that enough to turn it on? So that's a great question, because we're always about, in our group processes, I'm taking you through in a measured and deliberate way so you can really tune in, you get the details, you can experience this fully. And if you fell asleep, you can go back and experience it more consciously. You did experience it, but you can get really conscious and really feel into it. This is to get you deeply aware of what changes when you activate these processes. Then the idea is to make it more and more efficient, more and more practiced. The more we practiced, the quicker things turn on. Just, you know, everything we do, when we practice it, we get more efficient and usually quicker in how it works for us. When you start typing, when you learn how to type, you're probably not very fast and also not very accurate. But as you practice, your typing speed goes up and you can accomplish a great deal in far less time. Same with any energetic practice. First, we're feeling into it. We're getting really deeply acquainted with it. We're really tuning in. And then we find the ways, such as a code phrase, a gesture, just a quick mental envisioning, to activate it. You command the activation in whatever way you like. And the whole point is, explain it to your guides, talk yourself through the process, get clear with yourself. What's going to turn on grounding for me? Is it just the word ground? Is it an envisioning? Is it a gesture? Just get real clear about what is the simplest, quickest way for me to activate this now that I know what it means. And then in quieter moments, if you want to really savor the process again, you can absolutely take your time with it, envision it, sensorize it in whatever ways are easy for you. So it's not necessarily overthinking to re-envision or feel into the process again, but it is more time consuming than most of us actually can manage on a regular basis. The point is, keep it simple, keep it efficient. And then when you have a longer time, you actually get a prompt to go deeper with it, you can do that. But generally speaking, the code phrase or a quick gesture or a quick visual, any of that will work to turn this on. Jennifer also asks, regarding the Vivaxis, does it actually unplug or detach from the body for cleaning before we move it? It depends. It absolutely depends. We are unplugging it from where it grounded into, where it was connected in the earth plane. We unplug it from there. Whether we need to also unplug and detach it from the body and even clean out the energies, it depends on what your body needs. So you may find that if you choose to move your Vivaxis more than once, that sometimes it unplugs from your body and from the place, and sometimes just from the place. But just allow. Whatever you're noticing is what you instinctively know is right for you. So usually there is some kind of cleansing, and how that happens, whether it runs back out and down the Vivaxis or whether it needs to come out from the body, the process, the hows, can change. So just notice what you notice and recognize, honor, and please remember, don't second guess yourself. If that's what showed up for you as your process, that's what you needed. And the more you learn to trust those spontaneous awarenesses, that the more finely tuned your intuition will get. Jennifer also asks, finally, does everyone have the ability to hand out grounding cords? And I would say everyone who's aware. Most people do not think about handing out grounding cords because they're not aware that that's an option. They're not even aware they have a grounding cord. Now that you're aware, I would say anyone who's aware and has that benevolent intent, you can ground people. You can hand out those grounding cords at will as you're guided. You can hand them out in any way you choose. So anyone who's aware could do it. Everyone potentially has the ability to do it, but most people aren't practicing it. So you're doing a great service in the world by activating your awareness and sharing grounding cords with the people around you. Christine G. asks, do the grounding elements correlate with Chinese astrological elements? My understanding, because I received these 10 elements as a system from my mentor, Cindy Dale, who acknowledges that her system is a blend of several systems. There's the classic five elements of magic, Wiccan practice, magical practices. Then there's the feng shui, not necessarily Chinese astrology, but the feng shui elements, which refine the element of earth into earth and metal and wood and stone. So she allowed those, and she brought in some other elements that aren't really recognized in any other system. She simply downloaded and worked with them because she found them useful. So while we are giving a nod to the Chinese elements of feng shui, it's not necessarily about astrology, and it goes beyond the feng shui system. Alexis asks about the back and front side chakras. We have we just briefly touched on those, and there's this interest in knowing more. The back and front chakras connected, are they like a tube? Are the back and front chakras even connected at all, or are they separate? So let me clarify that just a bit. I'm not talking about back and front chakras as separate chakras. It's a central chakra with a backside and a front side to it. So it's a single chakra, but it has a backside and a front side. Just like a plate has a back and a front, or a piece of paper has a back and a front, our chakras have a back and a front, but it's the same chakra. The backside of the chakra has a specific structure, and it is meant to do some specific things for us. I would love to teach an entire class on this because this is not well known, but it is a vital part of our energy systems where interference can often creep in and we don't recognize that's where it's coming from. We may have vulnerabilities at the backsides of our chakras, and we have some secret superpowers in our backside chakras that we don't necessarily notice. So the connection is through the chakra itself. Most people see it as like a vortex at the back that spirals into the central chakra and then spirals back out the front side into expression into the physical world. So that's the basic structure of it. Fascinating question, and as you can tell, something that I would be very happy to talk more about in a special class. Cindy said, and she may speak for many of us at different kinds of processes or moments in our classes, I had some distractions. Can you please tell if all of us were affected? And I would just say, distracted or not, the distraction is simply your conscious mind checking out. Something in your physical environment pulled your conscious mind and conscious attention away from the process. Now, your soul and your non-conscious awareness can stay tuned right on in. And that's also a little bit beyond linear time. So one of the fun things when we're playing with time is to simply go back to that moment and redirect all the energy back into, and command it to give you all the benefits that that moment in the class was meant to have for you that your conscious mind couldn't pick up on because it got pulled elsewhere. So please know that at the non-conscious level, you got everything you were meant to get from the session, from the process, every single time. The conscious mind gets distracted. We sometimes have things happen that take our attention, our conscious attention. Please just realize that there's more to you than your conscious mind and conscious attention. And let that much, much larger part of you simply tune in on your behalf, receive what you're meant to receive, and then give your conscious mind the memo a little later. So you give your conscious mind the memo by reviewing the recording, or by checking on any notes you have, or simply by checking in with yourself and saying, what else am I meant to know about this? The group connection process at the beginning of each session was a great way for our non-conscious aspects to enrich and inform each other. And then how that shows up to the conscious mind, did you just kind of recognize or realize something? Oh, that's what that was about. Or, oh, I guess I learned more from that than I realized. When you don't limit your conscious mind, but let it pick up stuff from the non-conscious wisdom of yourself, your conscious mind will get the memo, will suddenly light up with an awareness, and you'll realize you didn't miss as much as you thought you did. So that's just meant to reassure you. Christine asks, I understand now our chakras are revealed, such as the eighth chakra is magenta and it's above the crown. What might your thoughts be on that, Susan? And that's another aspect where, because it's a subtle energy, and we're looking at it through our personal vibrational filters, the out-of-body chakras may appear different to different people. Even the in-body chakras, different schools have seen the chakras as being different colors, as being slightly different shapes, as being on a different kind of pathway from each other. The Celtic system sees not a tube that connects us up and down, but a spiral. So this is all subtle energy, and is very malleable. Please don't lock yourself into any one awareness as like, this is right, this is how it has to be. If you find that color useful, great. My own teacher saw the eighth chakra as black. She always saw it as black, and she had us all change it to silver because silver was actually more useful for the kind of purpose of the eighth chakra than black. If you see the eighth chakra as magenta, great. As long as you sense that's a healthy and useful color for you, compatible with your system, super, go for it. If you sense there's something off about a color, and you might not even be able to describe it, you're just like, that's not quite the color I think that chakra's meant to be healthy and to serve me properly, that's where you would ask your guides to help you cleanse and recolor that chakra to what it's meant to be for you. Kathy asks, right when we started the Vivaxis transplant, I got very sad. And when we planted it where we wanted, I was actually overwhelmed and started crying. Could you explain this experience? And first of all, I would just say that's a very moving and profound experience, that it came all the way through your emotions and your body. And I just want to witness and honor how profound that must have been for you to have that happen. And that's a unique experience. I don't know that I can fully interpret that for you, because that was a deep message from within you. It may have some past life connotations. It may have some connection from the land, that the land itself may have been responding to you when it was time to move the vivaxis, and it fed that into your own emotional body. I'm really not being guided to give you a specific interpretation, which is interesting, because normally I can check in on that for people and explain things more deeply. But because this is meant to be a deeply personal experience to you, you will know best why this had such a significant emotional impact on you. And the only hints I get are that, A, there was something about that land that went deep with you, but it still wasn't right, and the land was saying goodbye to you in a way that was very moving, and that actually transplanting again into a place that you desired was taking your power back in a way you'd never experienced before, and that became very emotional to you. And the greeting of the land may have intensified the emotions. When we are planting our vivaxis in land that loves us and wants to nurture us, we can get a big influx of energy, and it can affect us emotionally. But tears, they can be tears of joy, tears of sorrow, tears of release, tears of cleansing. Only you will know exactly what that meant for you. And I would encourage you, anyone who's having a strong emotional experience, to first validate it, witness it, and honor it. Go into it. It's not a wrong thing. There's nothing wrong. No emotional response is wrong. They're simply messages that this is how this is affecting you. And then you get to explore what's going on there. What is this about? What are you meant to learn from that emotional message? So witnessing our emotions, especially when they're intense or puzzling, or we sometimes have these secondary emotions of feeling embarrassed about our emotion or ashamed or frightened of the emotion. Those are secondary responses, and you can acknowledge those too, but you want to get back to the central core emotion and be with that and just really ask for the messages. Once you have them, the emotion will spontaneously resolve and move on. And that's where a lot of us right now are doing some really important work of letting a whole bunch of buried, suppressed emotions come to the surface and move on and be expressed. There has been some great information put out about this, and I hope to share more of that if that proves useful. But that's the basics about when one of these experiences brings up a lot of emotion. Please honor it, follow it, be with it, learn from it, and then let it move. Nina asks, is there another name for Gaia now? Because, of course, I use the name Gaia quite frequently when I'm referring to the consciousness, the conscious being that is our planet. And she added that she believed it would be Serafina for the new Earth. Again, this is psychically downloaded information and awareness. There's no real right or wrong on any of that. If the name Serafina resonates more comfortably with you to say, I'm distinguishing this from the old paradigm Earth, that's fine. I just love the name Gaia, and I'm not really resonating with the name Serafina for my own personal use. That's not to say there's anything wrong with it. But because that came to my attention, I actually checked in with this loving, beautiful being and said, you know, I just think of you as Gaia. Is that okay? Am I missing something here? Is there a name you'd prefer? And I just got this firm shake of the head and said, you are investing that name with the vibrations of my newness and of my own ascension. The vibrations you encode this name with suit you and suit me. I am content to be known as Gaia to you. So that's a beautiful personal experience, and you can have a similar experience. If you get new information, check in. And ideally, if it's information about another conscious being, like a star or a planet, check in with that being. How would you like me to refer to you? And whatever you get, honor it. Again, names hold vibrations, but those too can be fine-tuned. And for me, the name Gaia is just so beautiful and holds such meaning that I will always treasure it. And others who choose to refer to this planet as Serafina, I will respect that and honor it for them. And now I know what they mean. But the choice is very personal. Barty finally asks, I don't feel very energetic after doing this grounding exercise. Any advice? And that's a very interesting question. There could be a number of different issues about not feeling energetic. So grounding, you may be actually getting calmed or soothed instead of stimulated by grounding. So be very, just tune in with yourself and saying, is it that I feel calm or I still feel fatigued or I don't feel renewed or I don't feel like I'm getting a benefit from grounding energy? Those would refine your question and also lead us into slightly different answers. If you're feeling calm rather than stimulated, that may be exactly what you need. And if you can allow that, oh, I guess I meant to feel calm and peaceful and maybe a little relaxed right now, and that feels appropriate, then just allow that. If, on the other hand, you feel like something's blocking grounding energies from revitalizing or fully nurturing you, you'd want to ask your guides, is this energy getting blocked? Is there some kind of interference? And if you get a sense of a yes, ask them to clear it. Clear out the interference, restore the grounding channel and the flow of the energy. See what happens. That's another, you know, an issue, that sometimes our grounding channels can get blocked and we're not actually getting something. There's always a reason for it. There's something to learn. There's something to understand. Tune in. Learn what you meant to learn. What is this block? Is it your ancestors poking at you? Is it something in your own mind? Did your mind create a block in grounding? There's all kinds of interesting things that can happen when we're working with subtle energies. So tune in, get clear. What is the issue here? And then you might want to check on refining. Well, do I need to change the elements or dimensions that I'm grounding into? Have I gotten kind of stuck in a rut? And these aren't actually the most supportive elements or dimensions for me today. If so, you can just kind of clear the slate and ask fresh, as if you'd never done this before. What are my elements? What are my dimensions right now? Just go with the awareness and see if that brings that sense of vitality as well as stability to your system. Great questions. I so appreciate you sharing these. And if you do have any follow-up questions, I will be happy to address them later. In the meantime, happy grounding and flowing. Stay connected. Stay solid. Stay stable. Stay sovereign. And we'll talk again soon.